Well then, dear friends, in Christ's grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you go today and you turn on the news, you go on the internet, look at the news, one of the things you might be seeing very often are all of these protests that are happening all over the world. Currently, the big ones are in Hong Kong, in Lebanon, in Chile, all these places where people are marching on their governments crying for freedom, crying for fairness. But why? Why would they risk their jobs, their safety, sometimes even their own lives? Wouldn't it just be better to bear it in quietness, to just deal with it? I mean, everybody's struggles. Everybody's got a fight and something to deal with. And so why is it so important that they risk so much? And it's because freedom is a very important thing to all people. So important that we will risk everything to win freedom that we ourselves might not even see. As we look back on our own country and our own history, we see countless men and women who fought and died to win freedom from the oppressiveness of the British. Freedom that some of them never got to experience. Think back to the World Wars. You yourselves, your brothers and sisters, your moms and dads, your grandma and grandpas, your friends, your family, we all probably knew somebody who was involved in those wars, especially reflecting on the history of the invasion into Europe. People, especially the Americans, were fighting for the freedom of people of other countries, freedom that's not even going to benefit them. They were striving and fighting, again, fighting and sometimes even dying in gruesome ways to make sure that people of other nations would have freedom. So why is this freedom so important? What makes this freedom such a value? And it's because this is a value that God has placed on each one of our hearts by this eternal gospel. Because as we open up Scripture, what we see is this value of freedom. On almost every page, God's divine hand has inscribed freedom everywhere. Because also throughout Scripture, what we see is the master of slavery. We see sin, death, the devil, those things that seek to chain us up, to tie us to our own desires, to blindfold us with our passions, to leave us to rot in the darkness in chains. And not only does God not want this for us, He actually despises it. He hates it. And gives us, therefore, a solution by giving us freedom. Something to release us from our bondage to sin. We see that the only way to release someone from sin is through death. An unfortunate reality for things. But yet, as strange as it sounds, God is even able to work out His divine plan, His divine goodness, through something as awful as death. And God journeys to the cross, takes sin, takes that shame upon Himself, suffers a death that is meant for us to redeem us and to set us free. And God accomplishes His plan by giving freedom to the sinner through the death of Jesus. But we must always remember, any man can die. Jesus, however, is no ordinary man, but God in the flesh. And death simply has no power over Him. And as He rises from the grave, as we celebrate not only on Easter, but every day of our lives, we are not only freed from sin through His death, but we are freed from death through His resurrection. Holding on to that hope and that expectation of that image of Revelation where all will be gathered together, all nations, tribes, languages, all people gathered together, risen and living in eternity with one another. And this truth has been shared to us through this eternal gospel. But yet, as we reflect on history, what happens if that gospel is hidden? What happens if we just don't know it? As we look at the Reformation a little over 500 years ago, the people in this time are left in ignorance by the church. The church of all people should be the one to share this freedom of the gospel. But yet, in this church, as in church still to this day, people trust the church. They give to the church. They give this power and authority to the church. And sin had sunk its claws deep into the church of that era. Remember, we're not saying this to badmouth the Roman Catholic Church, but to understand that the corruption of sin, it's even found in the church. And people 500 years back were suffering because of it. Had no idea whether or not they were saved, were relying on their own works. And it got worse than that too. In the Roman Catholic Church, there's only supposed to be one pope. But in this era, there were multiple popes who were fighting with one another. As many were saying, well, he's not the real pope. Then we have all these political powers that are getting involved. And they're calling the shots in the church as well. And then to add on to that, if you are wealthy enough, well, you can throw enough money at the church and basically do whatever you want. And the corruption in this church leads the leadership to just eat this all up. And caught in the middle of all of this is a monk named Martin. So because of his wealthy father, he was sent off to school to learn the trade of being a lawyer so that he could help his father's business. And in the midst of all of this learning that he's going through, he is overcome by dread. Again, the same problem as many are having. He doesn't know if he is saved or if he is damned. He doesn't know if God loves him or if God hates him. And in his heart, he realizes that he has to strive to prove to God that he is truly sorry for his sins, that he is truly repentant. But how do I show God? Because everything I do, it feels like it's not good enough. I know that evil that's inside of me. I want God to see that I hate this evil as much as he does, but I can't do enough to show him. And so he takes an even bigger step and becomes a monk, where he is giving his entire life over to the church to show God that he is going to do good for him, to show him just how sorry he is for his sins. But yet in the midst of all of this struggle, God's eternal truth found in the gospel shines. And as he opens up the scriptures and studies more and more, he sees freedom. He sees God's love. That God does not demand that we do all of this work for our righteousness, but yet that he has done all of the work for us and calls us to live new lives. And as he discovers this reality of God's love, as he discovers this freedom, he, of course, as you should, wants to share it with everyone. He is so inspired and on fire by this freedom and this love that he tries to share it with everyone. But there is that corruption that is in this church. And what Luther is suggesting would take a lot of authority, especially a lot of money from the church. And these hearts were so corrupted that they thought that his teachings were heretical. Heresy, by the way, means something that is contrary to the truth. And they think that he is absolutely lying by what he is preaching out of Scripture. But yet, as this famous painting is titled, and as we have heard through the ages, Luther stands convicted of the truth, saying, "Here I stand, I can do no more, I can do no other." The conviction of the truth is so powerful that even in the face of death, you stand. But death is not waiting for him at that moment in time in his life, because there are many others who are frustrated with this corruption that they see. And Luther is protected by many who have seen this abuse of power in the church. And so he is protected by many people, by many different government officials in Germany and things like that. And Luther, he just doesn't stop. He keeps on preaching, teaching, proclaiming this eternal gospel. Using his blessings of privilege and his education, he translates the scriptures from the from the original languages to the common German tongue, which then leads others to follow suit as the French and then the English translations follow soon after. Luther starts to lead the charge for education. And I don't know if you heard it last week in Pastor Volz's message, but he told us that the father of modern education is Martin Luther. And it's absolutely true. Because in Luther's time, if you were privileged, if you had enough money, you could get a good education. But Luther fought to make sure that everybody received an education, especially women, which was surprising because no one cared about women at that time. It was the old phrase of women are only there for bearing and raising children and caring for the household. That is their job. That is their only job. They don't need to go to school. They just need to do those things. To which Luther says, no, all must learn. All must have this knowledge, especially this idea of literacy. Because not only do they need to be able to read, but they need to be able to comprehend what they're reading so that they can understand it, take it into themselves, and live the truth that they are hearing. So then the question is, as always, so what? What about this lesson makes this more than just a history lesson? What about this makes this more than just a celebration for us once a year? As always, I think it's important that we ask the question, why do we care? And we care because this Reformation has not only formed our church, but has formed modern society. The values that came out of the Reformation, especially values like freedom, are just present everywhere in our modern society. But in my opinion, one of the biggest things is that in the backs of your pews, you can grab one of these black books. You can open it up, you can read it, and you can understand it. You know that it's not just a black book with some paper, but it is God's Word. It is Holy Scripture. You know that by opening this up and reading it, you can see the truth of God's love found on every page. Even with the frustrations that God has with his rebellious people of Israel, you still see God's love shine through. That value of education means that you learned how to read, and again, that you learned how to comprehend what you are reading. So that when you read that God loves the world, you can understand that, oh wait, I'm a part of the world, and God's love has been shown to me. And what's also very interesting and important is that this book is also in your mother language, the language that you first knew. You didn't have to learn another language in order to understand God's word, but it was translated and provided to you. And then that other important thing is that value of freedom. Especially the value of freedom that we see in God's eternal gospel. Because of the work of Luther and the reformers, you know who your God is. You know how dearly he loves you. You know how he has taken your place in death. You know how he has risen from the grave for you. You know all of this because of how God preserves his word, preserves his people, and provides you teachers. And so we thank God for this freedom that he has given us. But now the question that I want you to leave reflecting on today is, what do you do with this knowledge? Do you just keep it to yourself? Do you sit on it? Do you teach your children about this? Do you share this truth in our community? Do you take it for granted, thinking, well, I don't really need to study it. I can do it whenever I want to because it's always there. Do you take it for granted? Dear friends, what do you do with the freedom that God has given you and this knowledge of freedom that God has provided to you? Think on these things, dear friends in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.